So the other day, I was reading an article that was written by a journalist up in Chicago. And this journalist was writing about his experience of an experiment he did where he dressed up in various different uniforms and he went around the city of Chicago just kind of recorded how people treated him. So he dressed up as a doctor with a scrubs and a stethoscope and all by a hospital. He dressed up as a trash man or something like that. Dressed up as a mechanic. He dressed up as a security guard. But he said that by far the biggest response he got was when he dressed up as a Catholic priest. He put on a cassock and a Roman collar, and he just walked around Chicago. And he said, people would turn their heads and just follow him as he walked along. Or, he'd be in a grocery store, and the clerk might be, kind of snappy with the people in front of him. But when it got to him, she was, all of a sudden the smile broke out, and she was very friendly. He said people would come up to him, complete strangers would come up to him very eager to talk about this or that or the other. They wanted to share their experiences, flex their muscles of Scripture, so to speak, their knowledge of Scripture, or talk about the various things that they were volunteering for. And his reflection on this was just, how much different it is to be a priest than to be these various other things. And as I was reading this article, I was thinking, I could have told you that. It's very different. You walk into an airport and people generally don't like to stare unless you're a priest. They're not afraid to stare at a priest. They're not. And just the conversations you have, I mean, it's just different. It just is. I mean, even here, even among our own parishioners, people act differently when there's a priest around than when they're not. I mean, they'll be telling a story in the middle of telling a story, and then they'll stop and look at me like, should I finish this story or not? Or someone will, the husband will, or the wife will poke her husband, hey, watch your language, father's here, right? I mean, all of this stuff, yeah, it happens every day. I mean, this is my life, right? But the question is, what is it about the priest specifically? What is it about the priest and his presence that makes us, that wants to try to bring out the best in us? And more specifically, why is it only when the priest is there that we are cognizant of that? What is it about the priest's presence that kind of pokes our conscience a little bit, that makes us want to try to remember, oh yeah, there's something else going on. There's something else greater beyond us. Well, I think that's because it's the way it's supposed to be. In a sense of the priest should be a marking of something greater, a reminder of something that goes beyond you and I, our daily life. Now, I bring this up on the feast day of Christ, the King of the universe, because Jesus' priesthood is intimately linked with his kingship. The priesthood of Jesus Christ and the kingship of Jesus Christ, they're inseparable in many ways. And so we have these readings today, these readings about the kingship, the glory of Christ, right? Well, yes, in one sense and no in another. The feast of Christ the King, the triumphant, the King of, when we think of King, we think majesty and splendor and power and authority. And yet the reading the church gives us for this Sunday is of Christ bound before Pilate. Are you the King of the Jews? Jesus' response, you say I am. But then he says, my kingdom does not belong to this world. There's something about the presence of Jesus, of his kingdom not belonging to this world. There's something about his priesthood that reminds us of something else. His kingdom does not belong to this world. That's not to say that he's not going to come back. And one of the major themes of this feast, it's the second coming of Christ, right? The King of the universe who will return as a triumphant king, as a king, the King of kings and Lord of lords. But we also see him humble, chained, Remember, he would have spent all night before this, leading up to this gospel, he would have spent all night being questioned by the priests and the Pharisees, being slapped and beaten as recorded in the gospels. What kind of a king is that? His kingdom does not belong to this world. And if that's the case, where does his kingdom belong? Well, obviously, with his Father in heaven, yes, right? That's part of it. But that's not it. In order to be a king, there has to be some sort of kingdom, right? Well, listen to the second reading here. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. In other words, what St. John is talking about is the kingdom of God is present in his people, who are a nation of priests. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, yes, it is in heaven, of course. And it's not a kingdom, a worldly kingdom of power and authority and sense of civil government. It's a kingdom in our hearts. In a nation, a kingdom of priests. You, through your baptism, are baptized into Jesus' own kingship, into Jesus' own priesthood. And so you, by your life, by your witness, you should prick people's conscience. When they see you, they should say, hey, that's Jack, that's Susie, that's Samantha. She's a Christian. There's something different about her. We should have Christ enthroned in our heart in such a way that he's alive, that his kingdom is alive within us. But in order for the kingdom of God to be in us, he has to be in all of us. You know, Origen, one of the earliest Christian writers, he said, you know, the kingdom of God cannot exist beside the kingdom of sin. Which is basically the same thing Jesus said when he said, you cannot serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or despise one and be devoted to the other. It really is kind of an either or. But what is it about us that we kind of hold something back? You know, maybe in the presence of a priest we think, oh, well, maybe we need to start watching our language or not tell those stories. But why is it? Why is it we think we can do that in the first place? Shouldn't our conscience be telling us something different? If Christ is enthroned in our hearts, we have to give him all of our heart. Think about inviting a guest over or a king over to your house and saying, you are the Lord, you are the king of my house, but stay in the parlor, you know? Don't go back to the bedroom, and certainly don't go in the kitchen, all right? You can stay here in the parlor, where everything is nice and clean and polished. Don't get into the messiness of my life. Allow me my area where I can do my own thing, where you don't have authority over, where you don't have kingship of. You see how there's something inconsistent there. If we want to make the Lord Jesus Christ King of the universe, it has to start with our own hearts. That's where his kingdom flourishes. And yes, we are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a holy people. Through our baptism itself, we are called in to participate with that. You know, when we pray the Our Father, it's so easy to just kind of, you know, recite it, just like going to autopilot, just even at Mass, autopilot. But in the petitions of the Our Father, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yet, like the Catechism says, yes, we're talking about thy kingdom come, thy second coming, the coming as of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the eternal judge. Yes, we're talking about that, but that's not it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If the kingdom of God is not of this world, it's a kingdom of our hearts. And when we pray that prayer, when we say those words, do we understand we're asking Lord, make your kingdom in my heart. That's what we're saying. Yes, come again in your second coming. We look forward to that second coming. But reign in my heart. That's where the kingdom of God resides. And we've got to give him all. It's not good enough to just say, yeah, you can kind of hang out in this area, but don't leave me alone. Leave my sin, my guilt, whatever it is. I think this is a good, this weekend, this focusing on the kingship of Jesus, it's a good time to ask ourselves, what are the things that my conscience has been telling me, you know, I need to start praying more. I know I've been needing to do some sort of a morning offering. Maybe it's time to do it. I need to get to confession. It's been a while. It's been months, years maybe. If the Lord Jesus Christ is king of your heart, you can't simply put that stuff off to the side. You have to open your whole heart to him. That's where his kingdom reigns. That's what we pray for when we say, thy kingdom come. I pray that each one of us can say those words and mean it. Can say those words and be willing to put into practice the things that are contrary to his kingdom. To live with our conscience in mind, and not just when we're around the priest, but to be the example, that witness of a Christian, a follower of Christ, who's priest, prophet, and king. May we say, thy kingdom come, and mean it.